John 10, verses 1 to 18. John 10, verses 1 to 18. John 10, verses 1 to 18. We could read these words. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he was not the shepherd, and one who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read this passage before us, we obviously have not been that close to sheepfolds and seen shepherds gathering their sheep at night to bring them into the sheepfold and in the daytime bringing them back out. When I first went to Honduras and as I worked there, in Honduras, especially in the early days, it almost seemed like the Wild West. You go to the countryside, you see the cattle grazing out in the fields, and as they grazed on the fields, there were those who would take care of the cattle. And often these were armed guards. They had rifles or automatic weapons, automatic rifles, as they guarded these cattle. In the evening time, as the sun would start going down, they would gather the cattle together and then walk them back to where they had to rest at night. And so you see all these cattle walking down the road, going back to their home where they would gather. And these people would go with them, and there would be guards during daytime, but there would be guards at night as well, because at night, that's when the rustlers would come out. And usually they would also come out with automatic weapons, often automatic weapons. We worked near the Nicaraguan border, weapons they would buy in Nicaragua illegally. And so when the rustlers would come, when the thieves would come, there would be a gun battle, and those who were protecting the cattle would have to decide whether it was worth fighting the thieves or not, because it was a matter of life and death. And that's the imagery we have before us in this passage that we have, where Jesus Christ speaks about a sheepfold in verse 1. At the same time he speaks about the sheepfold, he also speaks about the thief and a robber, those who try to get into the sheepfold to steal and to rob the sheep. In verse 2, Christ speaks about the door. He says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So we hear, first of all, of the sheep, we hear the thief, we hear the door, and we have the shepherd who comes in and out through the door. And he brings out his own sheep, and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they do not know the voice of the stranger. So also we have then the voice of the shepherd. And in verse 6, Jesus says, Jesus used this illustration. He speaks these words, and he's speaking about the sheep and the shepherd and the door, and he's speaking about the voice, much as I spoke about the cattle and people with their automatic weapons. And it says, and people were left, well, what's he talking about? Why is he speaking about sheep bulls, and why is he speaking about sheep and thieves? And that's all very nice, but what does this all mean? And that's where we have this explanation further on. In verse 7, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So first Christ presents his illustration, but then in the explanation he brings in all of Scripture to show us what he is describing. So we can go back and we can start to, in some way, seek to understand what Christ is trying to explain. First of all, then, the sheepfold. What is the sheepfold? Basically, Christ has his people in this world. Those whom he calls his own. Those who have been called even before the foundation of this world. Those who God knew by name. That he had foreordained that one day in their lives they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That he would grant them life through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For the Bible is clear. There's no one at all that will ever come to know God unless the Holy Spirit works in their life to bring them to new life. A life in God, a life in Jesus as the Lord and Savior, as their Lord and as their Savior. For life is only found in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. At the same time, the voice of Jesus Christ, the one who calls the sheep, that voice was called by Christ as he lived in this world. He called his own unto himself. But that call has been since the beginning. The call of the word. To repent and to believe. To repent of one's sin and to believe in Jesus and only in Jesus in order to have life. In other words, in this world, there are voices that are calling us all the time. Go here. Go there. This is the way you can live. Do this. These are your 6 steps to happiness. These are your 10 steps to success in life. This voice and that voice, and they're calling us all the time. But there's only one voice, and one voice alone, that will call us to live in God the Father. That's the voice of the Word of God, the wisdom of God, that calls us to new life in God through Him, and through Him alone. For Christ is the Good Shepherd. And He gave up His life on the cross of Calvary, to die for those whom he calls his own, or those who he would call his own, his people, his church, the holy nation, the redeemed of the Lord, those who would be blessed by him. So there's all these voices that call us, and there's the voice of the gospel. So in verse 1, then he says, most surely I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, that same is a thief and a robber. And later on he says, in verse 17, in verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. The thief comes, he calls out, but his intent is to separate the sheep from the fold. And Christ makes it very clear what his intent is. His intent is to separate, as these robbers would come in Honduras to steal cattle. They'd come at night, and they would come to take that cattle and carry that cattle away to be killed in Honduras or Nicaragua, to be slaughtered and to be and the meat to be sold. But that cattle would disappear. The intent was to enter in and to steal, to destroy, to kill. Christ says it's the same with the church of Jesus Christ. It's the same with the people of God. There are those who come in and their intent is not good. It's to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the question is, who are these people? Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's only through Christ, and it's only through the truth. We have to know what the truth is. And the truth is the proclamation of the good news of the gospel of Christ Jesus, that he is the only way to salvation. He gave up his life as a ransom for many, that we can have life. In other words, the truth is proclaimed by the proclamation of the Word of God, the Bible that we have in our hands. We have to listen to Scripture. The Bible is the only infallible, inerrant word in which we can truly trust. Here we have the Word of God before us, the voice of the Savior, the voice of the Good Shepherd calling us to repentance and to life. In other words, we must hear the gospel. We must hear the proclamation of the Word, and we must send out preachers to proclaim that good news of salvation to all people so they may repent and believe in Christ. The thief, when you speak about the sheepfold, when you speak about the church, is he who comes in and seeks to confound the proclamation of the gospel. He may come in, as Paul says, an angel of light. He may come in seeking in some ways to present himself as one that can proclaim the truth of the gospel. But he adds a twist. He distorts it. He changes it subtly, little by little. He starts to question things. He starts to question the infallibility of the Word of God. Is the Bible truly the Word of God? Can we truly trust everything that is written there? Is God truly speaking only through the Word of God? If there's one thing I've found in my ministry in Honduras, talking to many different pastors, there's the unwillingness to accept that only in the Bible, can we truly trust that we are hearing the voice of God? There always seems to be this desire to hear something more. I mean, God can't speak to us today. Isn't God all powerful? If he wants to speak to us today, can't he say something more? A new revelation? A new voice? Maybe an inward voice from speaking inside of us? Or a new revelation, a dream, or a vision, and there'd be people who would come into these churches and they'd say, you know, God appeared to me last night in a dream, or I had a vision, or God talked to me, but it's always a desire to add something more to the Word of God. And as we would look at these visions and dreams, often they weren't about important things, but there's always that questioning then, is the Bible sufficient our faith? Now, we live here in Canada, and it's not so much that people are subtly seeking to twist the Word. There is that. You only have to pass by some church and we'll see an Anglican church or United Church and we'll have a big gay sign out there. So supposedly they say they're proclaiming the Word of God, and yet they have this big sign that says that they are part of the agenda of this world. They've not only twisted the Word of God, but they've completely changed the Word of God to proclaim from the pulpit that which is of this world. And then we have the crude voices all around us that proclaim that there's a whole different way to live. That we don't need to understand marriage between a man and a woman, but we can understand marriage in a whole pile of different ways. And raising of children and being family and being community is a whole different understanding of life that we have in Scripture. Voices calling us to separate ourselves from the proclamation of the Word of God as we have it in Scripture. And Christ is clear. These voices may enter in very subtly or very crudely. Have an end. And it's not life. And even though they may say, it's love, love is love, and all that sort of language, it's not love. It's not the Word of God. It's not life in the Son. It's a whole different message. It's not the gospel. It's bad news for modern man. It's a separating of that which is good and following this world, the world in which we live. And Paul makes it very clear that the world in which we live is full of the sons, not of God, but the sons of disobedience. It's a fast-flowing current. And it's operated under the spirit of this age, which is none other than the father of lies. He was against God since the beginning, the devil, who seeks to rob us, to take us from the fold, to take us from the good shepherd, and to usher us into this world in which we live. That's the intent, to separate us from God, from Jesus. But the end result is death and destruction of all that we know that is good. I work in the Flamborough area with Mexican migrants. I'm always driving all around, all through all these small communities mixed in the farming communities. And all these small little communities like Sheffield and all these Linden and all these places, you'll see two or three old church buildings. These were the churches of the past of the farming communities. A lot of these churches are closed. Some of them are used for homes or art centers or whatever. All these churches where people used to gather to worship God, to follow Jesus, listen to the proclamation of the Word, and now they are empty. They're closed. Or they're still open, but they have a gay sign, a gay flag, or some other thing out there, proclaiming that they're a part of the world in which we live. At one time, they heard the Word of God, but today, there's nothing. The sheep have been dispersed. There's no shepherd. There's no one proclaiming the truth anymore. And they have died in their sin and their trespasses. They've been carried away and they have been destroyed. And their buildings are being used for other purposes, but not for the proclamation of the infallible, inerrant Word of God. They added something more. That adding something more ended up to be a denial of the truth of the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. For this reason, we have in verse 1, Christ said, most assuredly, or it says in the old translation, truly, truly, I say unto you, truly, truly, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And Christ says, and I am the door. We can't talk about syncretism. We can't talk about also the Hindu faith or the Buddhist faith or the Muslim faith. It's not syncretic. There's only one door, and that door is very clearly one person. Truly God and truly man, Jesus Christ. He's the one who came to die for our sins. No one else came to this world to die for sins. Only Christ. He is the sacrifice. He is our hope. He is our salvation. He is the door. And we have to keep looking at that door. We have to keep looking to Jesus. He is our hope. He is our salvation. Look to Jesus and you'll truly identify your Savior. And then he says, to him in verse 2, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. It's Jesus. Jesus is the door, but he's the door that opens and shuts. He's the shepherd that comes in and comes out. He himself, the shepherd, is the door. He's the one who lies down with his sheep as they lie there at night. He's always watching over them. He's always caring for them. He never rests. We live before the eyes of our God, and he looks at us. He looks at our minds and our hearts. He knows us. He knows us by name. He cares for us. He watches over us. He seeks to strengthen us through his word and through his spirit, to the fellowship that we have with God and the fellowship that we have with each other. He's always there with us. He never abandons us. And even though the world may rage against us and seek to destroy us, and they even may kill us, but they cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing, nothing at all can separate us from the love of God, because our good shepherd is with us and he watches over us. And then there's the doorkeeper. The doorkeeper. Who is the doorkeeper? Christ really doesn't say who the doorkeeper is. The one who through Christ brings us in and out. As we read commentaries, some say it's God himself or God's Spirit. God's Spirit that brings us to Christ, that works in our hearts, that opens the door of our hearts, that we may receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's the one who opens the door of the church, of the people of God, that we may enter in and come out through Christ Jesus our Lord. We do know that God has called us, even before the foundation of the world, as I mentioned. He has called us to be a part of his people, to be a part of his own. God, the one who's over all things, who controls all things. And even though this world may laugh and ridicule at the belief that there is a God, they may laugh and ridicule that we proclaim Jesus Christ, yet God is on the throne. Christ is at his side. Christ is the guarantee that one day we will be with God forever. He's there. He's watching. And God continues to work in our lives. God continues to be with his church. He's the one who's over all things. He's created all things. And he's the one indeed has foreordained us to be a part of his people. And God continues to indeed send out his pastors to proclaim the news. And God has given to the church the keys of the kingdom, that through the proclamation of the word, the gospel opens that door, that we may enter into fellowship with Christ. God works through this world to bring people unto himself. At the same time, the key to close the kingdom, as we proclaim the gospel, the voice of the good news of salvation, that all people may hear, we recognize so many will hear and hear and hear, and they may come so close. They may gather with God's people. They may enjoy the communion of the saints. They may participate maybe for years in the fellowship of the church, and then they fall away. We seek to go after them and to call them back, but they slip away and they no longer are there. And the keys of the kingdom are applied, and they're brought into church discipline, and they're separated from the people of God. The proclamation of the word calling people in, but at the same time, people who refuse to repent, or those who come for a time, may even join the membership of the church, but then they separate from the church, and then the kingdom of God is closed unto them because they refuse to believe any longer. Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. God will feed him, will grant him all that he stands in need of." At the beginning of the service, for the call to worship, we read Psalm 100. I'd like us to turn to that passage now. Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, verse 3, we have the following words. It says, "Know that the Lord, He is God." Know that the Lord, He is God. Here we see the psalmist pointing us to the Lord. We think of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And say, and He is God. It says, we are His people. We who belong to the church of Jesus Christ, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Here we see already in the Psalms, we see that throughout Scripture, the picture of the sheepfold, the picture of the sheep, the picture of the shepherd. It says very clearly, He is the one who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures. Know the Lord, He is God. Know your shepherd. Know who has made you, who you belong to. And when you come to verse 1, it says what our attitude towards God should be. Now, life can be hard. Things are expensive. Work can be difficult. We live in a world that's broken. So many things can cause us so much anguish and so much turmoil. But what does verse 1 say to us? If we truly belong to the people of God, if God has saved us from our sin, then God calls us to these words, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. If we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, if we know that He has saved us from our sins, all of our sins, that there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. He has done everything. He is the door. He's the shepherd who brings us in. He's the one who cares for us. He's the one who's watching over us all the time. What should be our attitude towards this God? And the psalmist says very clearly, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. So all that we've heard about the Good Shepherd, what should our attitude be? What should we doing, shouting joyfully in the midst of all the brokenness and all the sorrow that there is in this world. We should be a joyful people that manifest our faith in the Lord. We have come to know our Savior. We have heard His voice. He has granted us life. He has granted us life forevermore. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. How much more could we want? We have everything. Again, the world may take everything away from us that's of this world, but it cannot take away that salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have it all. We have the assurance of a heavenly reward, a heavenly dwelling place where Christ Jesus has already gone in before us, where He dwells, and where we will be eternally. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Come serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and in truth endures to all generation. He is the good shepherd. Life is good. Life is good in the midst of all the brokenness that there is in this world. In other words, we think of the future. We think, where's our country headed to? How can this be? How can a country that we thought was so free and so good, how have we arrived at this moment in history where everything just seems to be so dark and so broken? But not in the Church of Jesus Christ. Not amongst the people of God. We have life. We have eternal life. We have eternal hope. We have eternal salvation. We have God's mercy ever shining down upon us. We live by His grace in this world. He has granted us, and He has granted us it all. Do you have that joy? Do you have that joy? Have you found Christ? Is Christ your Savior? Have you heard that voice? Have you truly heard that voice? And the voices of the world, have they been calling to you to separate yourselves from the love of God? Turn the voices off. Shut them down. Listen to the voice of the Savior. He's calling you, gently calling you to come to Him, to live in Him, or to continue to live in Him and continue to have joy, happiness in Him, because He is our God, He is our Lord, and He is our King. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for the life of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who came to dwell amongst us as our good shepherd, who called us by name and continues to call us to gently follow Him, to listen to His voice. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow Him. At the same time, as we go into this world, as we call out to the world to repent of their sins, there's so many who refuse to listen and refuse to follow and refuse to receive life. Oh, Father, have mercy upon them. And may many more come to know Jesus here in Canada, in the United States, in Mexico, in Honduras, throughout this world, wherever Your word is, may they go out. And may those whom You have called be faithful in proclaiming that good news of salvation, that many may repent and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen.